Over this past weekend, the U.S. government released several videos of bin Laden in his compound in Pakistan. And the clips show one of them at least shows an old man wrapped in a blanket staring at TV images of himself. He's also shown rehearsing new taped messages, occasionally forgetting his lines, although you can't hear any audio. They've blocked that out.
Meaning the U.S. intelligence, right.
It's a completely different image than the carefully crafted and edited version that was so often delivered to Al Jazeera over the years. So how do you reconcile these two very different images of this man? Joining us now is Bruce Lawrence, editor of Messages to the World, The Statements of Osama Bin Laden, also a professor of Islamic Studies at Duke University. Good morning, Bruce.
Good to be with you.
I'm wondering if you saw anything on these videos that the CIA released that surprised you.
Well, the big surprise is that this raid happened, that it was successful, and that we have this kind of evidence. As I said in my book, Message to the World, Statements of Osama bin Laden, what was remarkable over the period of time of period of almost 15 years, that he was able to craft the image that he wanted to get the message. And when he couldn't get the image, which was after 2002, we didn't have any live image of him after 2002, the messages, the audio messages, still were those which he projected, which he wanted the world to hear. So it is really quite astonishing now to see the unpackaging of this figure who will go down in history as at least one of the most remarkable Robin Hood-type criminals for some people, and out-and-out terrorists in the manner of the Red Brigade for others.
Bruce Lawrence, as someone who's edited lots of source material on bin Laden, I'm wondering if there's a tension in this new archive that's said to be about 2 terabytes, which, if it's just a lot of video, is probably not terribly enlightening. But if there's also names and addresses, records of contacts or operations that are sort of in process, it has a whole different kind of value. What are you most excited about? Learning more about bin Laden, the man at home in this cushy suburban compound, or bin Laden, the terrorist, running this far-flung operation from a, you know, empty room in Abbottabad?
Actually, you know, I think both are going to go on in tandem. I mean, what's interesting, and that has only been partially picked up in some of the volumes of commentary that have come out since last Monday, since we first got the news that this SEAL operation had been successful in Abbottabad, and that, in fact, it was Osama bin Laden, or OBL, as I called him, who was, in fact, killed. What's really amazing is that he has been many, many things, but among his chief achievements, which will go down, is he's been a master manipulator of media, not just print and radio media, but above all, satellite TV and Al Jazeera. I've said in my writings, and I still think now it's even more true, that without Al Jazeera, we wouldn't have bin Laden, the man at home, or bin Laden, the terrorist at large. He was able to project himself to 55 million Arab viewers, and able to do it on his own terms for long enough that what we now have, as you said, are 2 different images. And what will also be true, and what he must think was his great legacy, is we can't stop talking about him.
Well, we're speaking with Bruce Lawrence, editor of the book Messages to the World, The Statements of Osama bin Laden, and a professor of Islamic Studies at Duke University. Another thing that you've said, Bruce Lawrence, though, is that Al Jazeera would not have been what they are now if they had not been receiving his messages.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's a two-way street. There's lots of things about Osama bin Laden that are reciprocal. He benefited from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera benefited from him. And as you may have noted in what has happened since the Arab Spring, and I think one has to quickly say that it's really important that he died, that this whole action took place, and we're now talking in the aftermath or while the Arab Spring is still going on. So had OBL been, or Osama bin Laden, been killed a year ago, there might be some of these same questions about where does the trail lead? Is it just the pictures of an old man who's had his day? Or is it somebody who's actually the head of a terrorist operation that we can now find out more about? That would have been interesting. But the Arab Spring puts in the context that there is an alternative to bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And so I think in one sense, Al Jazeera is also benefiting from that. That, in other words, Al Jazeera In its first wave, if you will, first wave is after all just founded in 1994. From 1996 on, it benefited from the Osama bin Laden presence and from its ability to scoop other other major channels in talking about him. But now the Arab Spring has taken over, at least in the imagination of most people, as the next stage of hope for the Arab/Muslim world. And Al Jazeera is benefiting from that as well.
Well, what we're talking about here, Bruce Lawrence, is his legacy, which one has to assume will be altered. People's memory of him will be altered by what we've found in the compound in Pakistan. But I'm wondering how much of his legacy will be simply religious in terms of interpretation of the Quran and of Islam.
Well, he's already set that out, and nobody has doubted that he's a Muslim scholar. A lot of people have said, oh, he's not a good Muslim scholar, and I've even said, you know, his knowledge of the Quran at some points is shaky. But no one would doubt that, A, he was pious in his demeanor, that he could deliver a knockout speech in very dry tones, and also that he was very masterful in being quiet, so that one expected to hear from him, and when one didn't, one got a little nervous. Now, what we have in the compound, it thinks that he didn't intend to send. The silence is broken. The life is ended. And I think some of his legend will depend on whether any of this remarkable treasure trove of information actually tells us things about him that go against the public view that he so carefully crafted over the last 15 years.
Right. And, of course, he was killed by the very forces he confronted in his jihadist message. I'm wondering what the probability is. Is this legacy more likely to be the limit and end of the jihadist message, or the potential and maybe the beginning of some new wave of the jihadist message, Bruce?
Well, I think that the jihadist message is only as effective as the soil in which it is disseminated. And I think right here the problem is that we have the Arab Spring bringing up huge elements of hope and change of government, and also in participation of larger groups in society. What needs to happen is there needs to be a clearer, calmer, if you will, more ordinary, everyday path forward in the Muslim world. If we get that, then the jihadist movement will not have the seedbed for the jihadist movement that bin Laden always said dealt with the discrepancy between the West and the rest, between the Muslim world and the advanced countries of Europe and America and also East Asia. And his notion was that if he could just bleed America, and he could overthrow corrupt Arab regimes, and he could somehow manage to wave away Israel, he could then take care of Shiites he didn't like, and we would have a happy Islamic caliphate.
Yeah.
Well, that's not likely going to happen now.
No. That's Bruce Lawrence, editor of Messages to the World, The Statements of Osama bin Laden, and professor of Islamic Studies at Duke University. Thanks, Bruce.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.